Good morning, Lord.
Good morning.
Scripture reading this morning is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifice, a holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunities that we have. We're encouraged by your presence. Certainly, God is well pleased. We're so thankful for our teachers. We're so thankful for our parents that work so hard to get their children here for Bible class, and we're so thankful for that and having all the young people here. You know, you think about children and development, and being a teacher, you know, you study all the different stages and everything, and it's interesting as you watch your kids go through those stages. You put something behind your back and they think it's totally out of the room. They have no idea. You know, they don't make the concept that it's behind the back. They don't see it. It's not there. You know, they go through those different developments, and sometimes they're funny when you see them. Sometimes as they go through those development processes, the other day, Avia, we got this little water table, and Uriah climbed up in it. And Avia jumped in front of Uriah, you know, because Mom was coming down the porch, you know, because she thought if he jumped in front of Uriah, Mom wouldn't see what was going on. So it's interesting how your kids develop and they process, and they start to learn things, they start to process the world differently. They go through those stages of development. You know, your kid covers their eyes, And they think because they cover their eyes that you can't see them. You know, it's like, I'm hiding. Well, really, you know, you can't see anything, but we can see you. You know, those stages of development are interesting, and we certainly think about physical development, but on occasion, certainly, we have to think about spiritual development. Is the Bible directs us to this idea that we need to grow. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now, both now and forever. Amen. The idea of growth we find in the Bible. And what I would like to look at this morning is three types of men, or three types of individuals. These are three types of men that the Bible talks about and discusses. The Bible discusses the natural man, which we'll talk about for a few minutes. The Bible talks about the carnal man, and the Bible talks about the spiritual man. Just as we go through the process of growth in our physical life, I think that the Bible really leads to this idea of the responsibility to grow spiritually. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. You know, when you read that, it doesn't seem like that's a suggestion. Right? When we think about babies, is it a suggestion that they get food? You know, well, I mean, if they get it, they get it. If they don't get it, they don't get it. When you really look at that, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, a comparison is being made. And comparison is being made to the spiritual individual and a physical child. And when it comes to a child's food, their physical food, it is not a suggestion, it is a necessity and an expectation. The expectation for a Christian, the expectation for our spiritual lives is that we grow and that we desire the will and the word of God. We need it to survive. Just as a newborn babe needs the physical food to survive, we need the spiritual food. We are going to discuss those three classifications or those three areas of men. The natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. And really, we need to examine ourselves and say, which category do we fall into? But the first discussion is the natural man. The natural man is mentioned in the Bible in a couple different places, but just trying to set up the natural man before we get to some of the passages where the natural man is mentioned. The natural man, in summary, is one that is focused on the world and just the world. The natural man has not even become a Christian. This person has not been born again, as we see in John chapter 3 and Nicodemus. He's talking about his physical life, and God says, Jesus says in John chapter 3 there, you must be born again. You must be born again. And we see that in that conversation in chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then it also goes on in verse 5, it says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. And we think about that, somebody going from this process of being born again. The natural man has not been born again. The natural man has been born physically and has not went through that spiritual rebirth of being the process of entering the kingdom, which we understand when we're baptized into Christ, we're added to the church, the spiritual group, we're added to the kingdom. And that's what I believe is being talked about in John chapter 3, this idea of being born again. The natural man has not went through this process. The natural man is focused on the world. The natural man has not entered the kingdom. The natural man has not been added to the church. The natural man is focused on the world. Now, this is not to say that the natural man is not unintelligent. There are many people that fall into this category, the natural man. They're intelligent. They live productive lives. Perhaps we'd say they're good citizens. We might even say that they're good people on certain moral issues. But in relation to their spiritual focus, it's not there. They are focused on the world. They have not been born again, and they are focused on worldly things. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, it talks about some of those things that the natural man focuses on. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The natural man is focused on the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. In fact, the natural man is so focused on the world that the natural man cannot see spiritual things. Now think about that. The natural man is so focused on physical things that the natural man does not even, it's almost like tunnel vision. The natural man does not see the spiritual implications, does not see what God says, doesn't want to acknowledge it, and even the natural man views it as foolishness. That's actually what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 talks about the natural man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The worldly natural man does not have a spiritual focus. In fact, for a natural man to have a spiritual focus, that would be almost contrary because they are just so much in that mindset, so much in that tunnel vision. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man is so focused on the world that whenever the natural man sees spiritual things, whenever the natural man sees things of the Bible, whenever the natural man sees how to become a Christian, whenever the natural man sees the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, the natural man just checks out. The natural man does not want to hear anything about spiritual things. In fact, the natural man views those things as foolishness. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Are there people that we live around with in our communities, our friends, and our family that are in this category, the natural man? They are so focused on the worldly things that they are not willing to look at the spiritual things even for a second. In fact, if you try to start a conversation with them, they're like, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about what an old book says. I don't want to hear about those spiritual things. The spiritual, or the natural man, rather, is focused on the world. And because of that worldly focus, does not focus on the spiritual things. Foolishness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. There is a big difference between the natural man that we're discussing right now and the spiritual man. Because the natural man, when the natural man hears about spiritual things, foolishness. Ridiculous. Doesn't want to hear it, doesn't want to acknowledge it. But the spiritual man, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the spiritual man understands that the spiritual things are the gospel, the cross, is that which has the power to save. It's a totally different reaction. It's a totally different perception. You know, we find some natural men in the Bible. Probably our best example we find in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21, we find a natural man. Who do we find? We find the parable of the rich fool. We find the parable of the rich fool. Further in verse 16, it says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, what can I do, since I have no room to store my crop? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say in my soul, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. See, the parable of this individual is an individual that fits into the natural man category. This individual, this rich fool, this rich farmer, this person that has all these crops, looks at the old barn houses and say, you know what, I don't even need those old barns, I'm going to tear those down to a bigger one. And we see the mindset of this individual. The individual does that, and this individual feels secure. This individual says, look, I tore down my old barns, I built these new barns, and I filled these new barns all the way up. Now I can take ease, now I can relax, now I'm going to be secure, my family is going to be secure, and I'm going to be totally fine. What's the problem with this man? This man does not have a spiritual focus. In fact, we look at the strong language that the Bible uses. What is the man saying in verse 19? He says to myself, he says, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the mindset of the natural man. But we see that God calls this man, the natural man, what? A fool. He says, fool, your soul will be required of you. The natural man is focused on the world. And what a sad focus that is, because we realize that those things are passing away, that those things won't last forever. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We think of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. It's actually instructions to individuals that are rich, writing to Christians that are rich. But it talks about there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, for we have brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You know, it's interesting, the Egyptians, a lot of times, when they would bury the pharaohs, they would bury all these things with them because they had the idea that they could take it with them. But we cannot take those things with us. How sad the state of a natural man is, somebody that's so focused on the world that they view the spiritual things as foolishness. That they're putting their security and their faith in things that are passing away and things that don't last. That's what we see. And certainly, we would not want to fall into this category, but it's a category that we have to consider because it does lead into our second category. But how does the world compare to your soul? You know, the natural man is so focused on the world, but think about it in perspective of your soul. If you gain the whole world, as it says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, it says, verse 26 there. It says, for what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But the natural man considers the spiritual things of God foolishness. God calls the natural man a fool. Are we welcoming and agreeing to the world? Are we welcoming and agreeing to the world? Do we welcome the world like it's our old friend? In James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, the idea is that you're cheating on God. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The natural man is an enemy of God because the natural man is so focused on the world that the natural man does not see the spiritual things of life, will not acknowledge the spiritual things of life, in fact considers the spiritual things of life as foolishness. Now I would caution you to avoid the temptation to look down on the natural man because in reality we were all the natural man at one time. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Certainly, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God once we've reached that age of accountability. It's really when we look at some of these individuals, we reflect, and hopefully we reflect, was that was me in the past. That was me in the past. I was a fool. I was so focused on the world, I would not acknowledge the things of God, I would not acknowledge the spiritual things which are here, and I was so blurred by the pursuits of the world that I could not see the greatest blessings that we could have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Okay? The natural man. Focus on the world, but not focus on the spiritual things. The next individual we need to talk about is the carnal man. The carnal man. You turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. That's where we're going to spend most of our time on the carnal man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now, the carnal man is different than the natural man. The natural man has not become a Christian. The natural man has not been born again. The natural man is so focused on the world that the natural man views the things that are spiritual as foolishness. The carnal man is different. The carnal man is an individual that has become a Christian, but yet is still blurred by worldly things. The carnal man has become a Christian, has been born again, but yet still struggles with some of those worldly tendencies. It's still blurred by those things. And when you fall into the category of the carnal man, you are a Christian, but you are focused on the things of the world still, that it blurs your focus, and what it does is you become undeveloped as a Christian, and you don't grow like you should as a Christian. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. We're talking about the carnal man, somebody that's become a Christian, but still is being drawn back into the world with those fleshly things, those fleshly desires and sins. Let's read those first three verses. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal, and behave like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" These are individuals that are Christians. They have been born again. They have been added to the church. But yet they have they're clinging to some of that worldly focus. A carnal individual is a Christian, but as Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 1, they're babes in Christ. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ, right? We all have to have a starting point. But there is a problem if you stay a babe in Christ, right? If my kids stay kids forever, you know, that's a problem. You know, they can't stay kids forever, and they can't handle things like kids forever. They have to grow up. They have to mature. And what Paul is dealing with here is that these Christians are still tied to some worldly things and some worldly mindsets. In fact, Paul addresses this idea of being carnal or being undeveloped in other places. But a carnal Christian, as Paul says, is a babe in Christ, really a babe in Christ that's not developing. We can't stay babies forever. And as Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, Paul is really pushing us to develop as Christians. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers," Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, "for though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil." There's nothing wrong with being a babe in Christ, but there is something wrong with being a babe in Christ after years pass. How long have you been a Christian? Are you the same as you were at the beginning? There's a development process that has to happen. You know, as Christians, we can't be the kid that covers their eyes and thinks nobody can see it. You know, we have to develop, just like we go through physical development, just like we go from kindergarten to first grade through high school, and wherever we go, there is a spiritual development that has to take place. And Paul says, when you are not developing, you don't have to develop necessarily at the same rate, but certainly Paul is addressing this idea that we do need to grow. We do need to grow. He said, some of you need the first principles all over again. You're a babe. You're unskilled in the Word of God. If a student had been in public school for a long time, if a student had been in public school for 5 years, wouldn't we say we would expect some growth? Have you been a Christian for 5 years? If we had a student in school and they had been a Christian, had been a student for 10 years, we'd expect some growth. If you've been a Christian for 10 years, the Bible and really Paul is saying there needs to be some growth. So in verse 1, what we see is a carnal individual, somebody that's been focused on the world. They're a Christian, but they're focused on the world, that it has stunted their growth. Because they're focused on the world, it takes away from spiritual things and they can't develop the way that they should. And really what Paul is saying in that first verse is they're undeveloped. In verse 2, he really gives the idea that they're not growing. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Paul says, I keep spoon feeding you, but you're not growing. Question is, why are they not growing? I think because of their carnal mindset, because of their worldly mindset, they're focused on the things of the world, they don't want to taste the spiritual food that Paul is trying to give. You know, it's sad and discouraging when people don't live up to their potential. We have people in our lives like this, right? We look at somebody and we're like, they could do so much better. And really, we have hope and we have expectations. And really, it's a love. We really just want what's best for them. With our young people, right? With our kids. We want them to grow up and achieve things. And we look at them and we kind of have those expectations and potential. And I'm not saying that we know those exactly. But certainly, I think that there's that idea. And Paul is expecting them to grow. He's spoon-feeding them. And he's like, hey, I'm expecting you to grow up. Come on, you need to grow up, but why aren't you growing up? And he says, because you're carnal, you have a worldly mindset. And we see that when we don't grow up, when we're undeveloped, when we're carnal, when we have this worldly mindset, what it leads to is it leads to problems. Look at verse 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal? Paul says you're focused on the world. And when you're focused on the world and you're not focused on Christianity and spiritual ideas, what happens is it actually leads to problems. What is the church at Corinth facing? They're facing some members that are carnal, that have worldly mindset. And what is it leading to? Envy, strife, division. Some people say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about if somebody's not growing. Don't worry about if they're not developing. One, that is just almost, you almost think about it, it's kind of sickening. We want the best. Just like we want the best for our kids, we want the best for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want them to grow. We want them to grow spiritually. And that's not bad, to want your brothers and sisters in Christ to grow. That's not a bad thing. But you see, what happens if you don't grow is it leads to problems. Think about that. Envy, strife, division. How many problems have popped up in the Lord's church because of carnal individuals? Because of individuals that are bathed in Christ? You think about those words, envy, strife, division. How much of that is caused because of undeveloped carnal Christians? No, growth is a major issue. Because if you can get individuals to grow, it deletes some of these problems. Christians that are focused on spiritual things, you know what they run away from? They run away from envy. You know Christians that are developing, you know what they run away from? They run away from strife. You know Christians that are developing, you know what they run away from? They run away from division. And this is what we see in the church at Corinth, because these individuals have a carnal mindset. They're focused on things of the world. It's almost like nitpicking. Right? Sometimes Christians will go after Christians for little things. Things that don't matter. Envy, strife, division. Things that don't matter. Because look at what they're dividing over. They're really dividing over preachers. Look at verse 4. He says, for one says, I'm of Paul. And the other says, I'm of Apollos. And he says, are you not carnal? You're focused on things that don't matter. When we're undeveloped as Christians, sometimes we focus on things that don't matter. Sometimes when we're bathed in Christ, we focus on things that don't matter. Sometimes when we're focused on the world, when we're instead of being more focused on spiritual things, sometimes it leads us down a dangerous road. The carnal Christian is hard because these individuals are Christians. They have become Christians, but because of their worldly mindset, they haven't developed the way that they should. I think in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him. When I think of a carnal Christian, that's what I think of. It says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. The carnal Christian has not grown the way they should. They're undeveloped, they're not growing, they're focused on worldly things, and because of that, it stunts their growth, and it leads to problems, just as it led to problems at the church at Corinth. We look at the natural man. The natural man is focused on the world and the world alone. The natural man doesn't even want to hear about spiritual things. They're foolishness. The carnal man is an individual that has become a Christian, but still focuses on the world to the point that they're undeveloped, they're not growing, and because of those things, because they're half focused on the world, half focused on spiritual things, what it does is it causes problems. It causes problems on occasion. The last man we need to focus on is the spiritual man. The spiritual man is that individual who has been born again into God's family and lives in a spiritual state. Certainly, I think of Galatians chapter 3, is that the Bible tells us we must be born again. And to think about that idea, we have to go from being a natural man to being born again. Well, what are we being born again? We're being born again a spiritual man. We're going from natural man to spiritual man. We're being born again. The old natural man dying, we're supposed to be born anew and become the spiritual man pursuing God. And I think Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." But it doesn't end there, does it? For the carnal individual, a lot of times it ends there. I'm going to become a Christian, and after that I'm still going to focus on the world. That's not the Christian life. We need to pursue the things of God. And we can't pursue the things of God because we went from the natural mindset where we focus on the things of the world, and we went to a spiritual mindset where we're looking to God's Word and the things that He teaches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." When we are born again and we have a spiritual focus, we can focus on the things of God and we can develop the way that we should. Well, how can we develop as New Testament Christians? We can focus on God's Word. That's how we build our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. You want to build your faith, you have to hear the Word of God. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to hear the Word of God. The natural man will not hear the words of God. The carnal man gets distracted and sometimes doesn't hear the words of God. But the spiritual man hears and applies the words of God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ." Isn't that the goal? That our mind can match God's mind. There's only one way you can do that. You can't do it with the world. The only way you can match God's mind is with the Bible. Spiritual things are discerned from God. And isn't that should be our focus? In Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this world." We are far better off when we focus on the things above. When we have a spiritual focus and we focus on those things which God has given, those things that God has laid before us, we are in a way better situation. I think we have a way better mindset when it comes to life. I think the Christian life, the spiritual man, it leads us to a more peaceful life. It's not that we're not going to have our problems and our struggles, but I'm talking about mentally. Mentally, you can have a more peaceful life if you're focused on those things that are above and not on things of this world. Because if you focus on the things of the world too long, it will bring you down. It'll bring your mindset down. It'll bring your attitude down. It'll bring everything down. And what is Paul trying to do? He says, "I don't want you to be like the natural man. I want you to be the spiritual man." And some of you might be carnal right now, but I want you to think about things that are spiritual. Focus on those things that are good and right. As we read about Philippians 4, verses 8 and following, focus on all those things that we should be focused upon. You know, the Christian life certainly is a journey. And as we focus on these three men, we realize that we are not perfect. And we realize, if we're really honest with ourselves, that we believe we're in the spiritual man category, we've fallen into the other categories at points in our life. At one point, we were the natural man. At one time, we were focused on the world and the world alone. And then at one point, we probably became Christians, and you know what happened? Our growth was stunted, and we became undeveloped. Why? Because we were more focused on the world than we were the things of God. But certainly, we want to do the best we can to walk the path of the spiritual man. It was the example that Christ set. Certainly, you can start your life anew today. If you're a natural man, if you fall into that category, you realize that you've been focused on the world and not the words of God. You realize what the words of God have said, and you say, "I understand. I need to become a New Testament Christian. I need to be added to the church. I need my sins washed away so I can start my journey as a new man." The Christian life is not easy. It is one of development. It is one of growth. It is one of moving forward. I always find it amazing when I look at Paul and the letters he's writing. He's writing to people like you and me. You and me that struggle with things in the world that is around us, struggle with issues that are around us. And what's Paul trying to tell them? Focus on God's Word. Focus on those things that are above. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can this morning. If you would please come as we stand and as we sing.